This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Round the Boards, updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM Dunedin's awesome morning show.
And joining us to bring us up to date with all things coming out of Otago Peninsula Community Board, Paul Pope. Morena, Paul, nice to have you with us again.
Morena, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. A bit chillier today, Paul, and that's a bit of an indication and change of seasons, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit of an indication, and unfortunately I've got the change of season cold at the moment, which is really a great start for the week, but a good chance to catch up with reading. I've actually just finished reading Not Given Lightly, the biography of Chris Knox, which has been pretty interesting to read.
Oh, well, there are always some upsides to having a little bit of time on your own, but commiserations, and thank you for taking the time to join us anyway, Paul, when you like this.
That's right.
Now, of course, one thing that comes up when we have our conversations about things going on the peninsula, it's a lot of it is around the way we move around the peninsula, including on the roads. You want to just catch up on road safety issues?
Yeah, look, so one of the things that's sort of come up, I guess, with annual plan and also the long-term plan coming up with the City Council, and there's been, probably since the election last year, there's been quite a lot of discussion about the Otago Peninsula connection to Awa Otago. And one of the things I've been looking at just in the last week is just looking at the statistics around car accidents on Portobello Road. And I looked at 25 years of data from 2000 to 2025 just to get a sort of feeling for what's been going on. Because there's been a lot of, people saying, well, it's not really a safety project, it's a cycleway. And one of the things I've actually found is that when you compare the 10 years before the project started to the 10 years afterwards, there's actually been a 206% decrease in the number of car accidents since the project actually started. And it's actually quite compelling when you start looking at it statistically, and you realise, as I say, that this project has never actually been about cycling. It's actually been about safety on the road for a whole range of different users. But more importantly, actually, the greatest level or greatest group who have actually benefited the most from the safety of the side of it have actually been motor vehicle drivers. And it's really quite, when you go through the data and have a look at the number of crashes that have occurred in a 25-year period, and like I say, you compare the pre-construction period to the construction period and where we're at today, we have definitely had a significant change in safety. I remember when I first moved out here, which was over 30 years ago, when the road really was just a sort of an updated cart track. It had been like that for 120, 140 years. And when you see it now and how it actually has made a huge difference to not only to the people that live here and the people in the city, but also our visitors, it really has been quite something. And it's been one of those things. It's been really curious. I've been really curious. I am a bit of a nerd, number nerd. I do quite like crunching. I like spreadsheets and that sort of stuff. So getting down and crunching into those numbers has been really interesting from that perspective.
Well, yeah, that must be gratifying for those who have been behind the project for all sorts of different reasons. It's a nice byproduct of also creating a great space for us to share. I mean, certainly, you know, just anecdotally, I mean, you've done actually crunch the numbers, but anecdotally, we seem to be seeing a car in the harbour every second week for a while there. So it's certainly not happening so much. And that's not the only way that, of course, accidents happen on that piece of road.
Well, there used to be an old saying out on the peninsula when I first came out here. You're not a local until you've been in the harbour, and that saying has kind of disappeared from our lexicon, I suppose, on the peninsula. Because as I say, those kind of accidents now are very few and far between now because of that. And it's been, like I say, it's been really interesting to look at just what it's done for the Otago Peninsula, for the city from that perspective in terms of safety. And I guess as we move now towards the annual plan and to the long-term plan, there are three sections left to do. And it's one of those things that to get those three sections to push that safety plan right across the entire peninsula would really be quite an achievement. And it's difficult too. I mean, yes, there are other conflicting. You know, the whole long-term plan is a sort of a series of opportunity cost decisions made by council about what our priorities. And I guess for us, that's certainly one of our priorities to get that over the line and get it finished, especially around places like Portobello School and also out at Otago, which is a major part of our business side of things. Just on the road, actually, one little thing that's come up too. Portobello is about to have its boardwalk put in, which runs between part of the walkway there, but also through to the boat shed. And that's the last of the co-funding from Waka Kotahi. So it's about $3.5 million in total, about $1.15 million from council, and the rest of it from the government. So we're really looking forward to seeing what difference that's going to make in Portobello and to connecting that part of it as well.
Speaking of funding, of course, not all decisions being made at central government or local government level. The community boards themselves do have some funding that they can make available to support community events and initiatives. So tell us about that as far as the Otago Peninsula is concerned.
Well, we get $10,000 of discretionary funding to basically help fund projects around the peninsula. Like every board chairman, and I'm sure you'll hear it from every other board chairman that you hear, we would love it to be more because what we do is, you know, provide small grants, often as seeding funding, often as support funding to different organisations around the peninsula. I know some boards have scholarships. We have a $1,000 scholarship for secondary school kids as well, for people who act as ambassadors for the Otago Peninsula. I've got a board meeting this week. In fact, it's actually this morning, and we've got some really interesting funding applications. Portobello Hall, they're raising, I think, about $160,000 to $180,000 to go towards the building of new toilets in the hall, including for the first time in over 100 years a toilet designed for disabled people, which the hall has never had, which is a huge upgrade for that facility. And then there's Broad Bay. They're looking to move their community garden. We've got the local choir. They're looking for some materials for choir. And so there's such a vast and variety of different things, and they kind of, it's always very interesting. You sometimes come across these things that you've never sort of realised were actually going on in the community, and I kind of like to think I've got my finger on the pulse, but they come out of the woodwork and they make the job more interesting. And it's a hard job when you're on a board. You know, you'd love to just give away all of the money to some of these projects, but sometimes you've got to think you've got a whole year to keep that money back and hope that you can do the right thing. So, but you know, groups that on the peninsula and groups who live in community board areas should certainly make the approaches to their community boards to looking for funding, especially seeding funding for small jobs or little things that would make a difference in their community.
Oh, well, good luck for you and the board with making those decisions today, and of course all the best to those who are making their applications for some support. Hope whatever they get from the board or otherwise from the community, they can follow through on all the things that they're aspiring to achieve. So just before we go, of course, we're heading right for turning back the clocks or forward the clock. What is it? Forward, back? I can't remember. But we're getting out of daylight saving time, aren't we, over the Easter weekend and a real time for seasonal change for the peninsula. Anything that that you want our listeners to bear in mind there?
Oh, look, I think if you're anything like me, I always find that when you turn the clocks back before winter, it's always kind of it's a sad moment. It's kind of like you've tried to enjoy the last, five, 6 months of summer and spring and summer. And you know, often you get a bit doomy and gloomy about the thought that, as I say, the mornings are going to be darker and the nights are going to be longer. You know, like we've just had this lovely little patch during the autumn now where the weather's been slightly warmer and a little bit better than perhaps what we had over the summer. But, yeah, it is a reminder too that, as I say, winter's coming and, of course, you keep a weather eye out on things that are happening on the roads and things that are happening around your house and those sorts of things. And, yeah, like it's, as I say, it's, you know, getting back into the notion of wearing perhaps high visibility when you're out for a walk and having a torch and all those sorts of things. Actually, just one other thing while I think about it too, a huge congratulations has to go to the Otago Peninsula Biodiversity Group, declaring that the Otago Peninsula is possum free. We've jumped, that's quite a juxtaposition from talking about daylight saving to possums, but that is a fantastic achievement for the Otago Peninsula. And one that has made a real difference to our community and to our environment. I know I was away recently and heard a possum in the bush, and I realised that I haven't heard a possum on the Otago Peninsula for probably about a decade. So to know that that's happened here is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, good stuff. And just so we're clear, yes, we do put the clocks forward on Sunday, the 4th of April.
Oh,
so that's coming up.
Okay, I thought it was back. There you go. That goes to show how much daylight saving can
do. Hold on. We're getting it. Yeah, no. No, it is back.
Yeah, it is
back. I can't read what's in front of me. There we go. We put them back.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a completely confusing Easter.
Apologies, listeners. Whatever you end up doing on Sunday morning, it might be depending on whether you've gone forward or back. But no, there we go. We go back.
I think what you just have to do is rely on digital, hopefully digital clocks to do it for you.
All right. Paul, you get well soon. Thanks for taking some time to join us here on the Awesome Morning Show for Around the Boards. We look forward to catching up in a few weeks.
It's too early for a whiskey and lemon, I think.
That was Round the Boards. Updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM, Dunedin's Awesome Morning Show. For more information about Dunedin's 6 community boards and contact details, visit the Dunedin City Council website, dunedin.govt.nz, or phone 477 4000.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.